The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Good evening and welcome to From the Median, where we are concerned with the middle ground, not just to understand both sides of an argument, but also to awaken the consciences of those who are neutral or indifferent to this, the greatest civil rights movement of all times, the pro-life movement. This evening, we continue our Bringing America Back to Life series. Tonight, we will feature a presentation from our 2022 convention. We know that you will be inspired by the ideas, the principles, the experiences, and the wisdom of our speakers as they join us to pave the way back to life through prayer, action, voting, and education. I am pleased to introduce Peter Kersenau, a partner at Benish's Labor and Employment Practice Group. Before Benish, he served on the President-appointed National Labor Relations Board in Washington, D.C. for 2 years and held three consecutive six-year terms on the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights. Additionally, Peter is the past chair of the Center for New Black Leadership Board and Benish's Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Peter testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee on the nomination of John Roberts, Samuel Alito, Sonia Sotomayor, and Ilana Kagan to the Supreme Court. He also continues to testify before and advise members of the U.S. Congress on employment law matters. Peter is a prolific author of fiction and essays on public policies. Locally, he shares his expertise with concerned parents and citizens groups on critical race theory and other divisive concepts encroaching on academia. His presentation, War on Truth, sounds the alarm on these and other pressing concerns facing our culture today.
Good morning. And I'd like to thank Bob for that introduction. As Bob indicated, I'm on a number of shows, radio shows also, and I consider Bob to be the finest radio talk show host in the country, bar none. Really amazing, and it was a privilege to be introduced by him, and a privilege to be here with all of you. As Bob indicated, my presentation is called The War on Truth, and I see a lot of friends here. You've heard me speak in the past, and you know that generally I speak extemporaneously. I'm not going to depart from that, although I do have a couple of articles to prompt me, because there are things that I don't want to get wrong about what was stated in those articles, and I've jotted down a few notes also. The War on Truth. The great Soviet writer and dissident, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, said, "Live not by lies. Live not by lies." More colloquially, Jean-Luc Picard, captain of the Starship Enterprise, in Star Trek The Next Generation said, "There are four lights. There are four lights." Just like here, I can barely see. And what he meant by that was he had been captured by an enemy commander who sought to break him, and they displayed four lights before him while he was seated, bound. And they kept insisting that there were five lights and kept asking him over and over and over, how many lights are there? How many lights? And he said, there are four lights. And I think quite often we are being subjected to the same form of torture. Day after day after day, falsehoods, outright falsehoods, lies, untruths that are being perpetuated on a regular basis in media, institutions, politicians, over and over and over again. We know that there are just four lights, but they keep insisting that there are five lights. Now, there are a couple of consequences to this. Actually, this is a progenitor to a consequence, and then it follows in a consequence. We hear uniform and universal lies from media everywhere. Everywhere. Now, despite my incredibly youthful appearance, I'm going into my seventh decade. And I remember... Well, thank you very much. I hope to make it to my eighth at some point. Over the years, I've noticed a creeping increase in the number of outright falsehoods being perpetrated by the media. They're blatant, almost shameless. But that's accelerated in the last number of years. And I would suggest that's accelerated for a couple of reasons. It's actually the reason for the acceleration is also a consequence of the acceleration. And I'll talk about that in a second. It's not that complicated. But we see it, CBS, ABC, MSNBC, just about every alphabet network, newspapers. It also infects institutions. Most notably and regrettably, our schools, beginning as early as kindergarten, even nursery school, and going all the way to graduate school. It's profound. It's disturbing. It's evil. Can we say that? Are we allowed to use terms such as evil anymore? And that's part of the problem. The reason they do this, one of the reasons they do this, is to control speech. Because if they control speech, as Goebbels found, just read some of the tracts from the Wannsee Conference. Back for purposes of, you know, history, you go back to the Wannsee Conference where the final solution with respect to the Jews was decided upon. Go back and read Lenin, Stalin, and you will see the same thing over and over again. Again, more colloquially, just go to literature, popular literature. 1984, of course, everyone cites all the time. Animal Farm, Fahrenheit 451, Brave New World. The one that captures it most directly, I would say, is probably Arthur Koestler's Darkness at Noon. The idea is that if they can get you to say something so absurd that defies reason and logic, if they can get you to say it, after a while, you believe it. If they can get you to say it, after a while, you tend to believe it, no matter how absurd it is. And that's what happened with respect to Jean-Luc Picard and Star Trek. They tried to get him to say there were five lights. No, there are only four lights. Only four, only four. Live not by lies. We are in an era now where controlled by not just major media, but the big tech platforms from Twitter, Facebook, Google, you name it. They decide what you get to say. Otherwise, you become a non-person. Again, going back to 1984. We're almost living in 1984 now. We've been saying this for decades and decades. And it was said as kind of a warning. We didn't truly believe it. But read it again and ask yourself, to what extent do we depart from 1984? Or again, combine 1984, Brave New World, Darkness at Noon, and all the other tracks talking about dystopia that I would suggest we're currently living in. And it's increasingly so. We see propaganda from our own elected leaders in the United States of America at every level. It's not just at the highest levels, federal level, state level, local level also. It permeates school boards. It's almost inescapable. The institutions that we had relied upon have begun to be infected by it, even some churches. It's disturbing, it's distressing, and I would suggest in large measure it emanates from one thing. It's both the cause and the effect. If you bear with me, I think you'll agree with me. They're banning words, canceling people. How do you cancel people? How do you say your opinion is beyond the pale? You do not matter. You're not suggesting violence. You're not exhorting people to do bad things or illegal things. But because you offended the sensibilities of the elite, you no longer have a voice. And remember what the elite are doing. They're compelling us to accept absurd, patently absurd propositions that we would be rejecting outright if we hadn't been compelled to say there are five lights. Once they've gotten you to say that there are five lights, they can get you to accept almost anything. Control speech and you control thought. That's what the Soviets knew. That's what Mao knew. That's what every totalitarian knew throughout history. And unfortunately, as much as I consider myself a patriot and my entire family are patriots, I am distressed to believe and to acknowledge that the United States has a creeping totalitarianism. Creeping. I'm not sure if I want to use a gerund there. Maybe it's already a static state of totalitarianism. A light totalitarianism, surely it's not the same as communist China, Soviet Union, Nazi Germany, or other truly totalitarian states. But there's a creeping totalitarianism that we must acknowledge if we want to remain a free people. But it goes beyond remaining a free people. First, you have to be born to be free. And that's what it's about. If they can get you to accept that a child in the room is nothing but a clump of cells, something indistinguishable from, say, a tumor, or maybe some skin detritus, if they can get you to accept that, all things are possible. Remember Dostoevsky? Dmitri and Brothers Karamazov? Now, it's been maligned, it's been mangled, but the gist of it was, if there's no God, all things are possible. Or without God, all things are permissible. And there's an expungement of God from the public square, from our schools, from our speech. And it's a militant expungement. They either ridicule you, but they've gone beyond ridicule now. They've gone to threats. You're not allowed to say certain things. Now, I usually carry a constitution with me, but I don't have it with me because I have this infernal mask that I have to wear from time to time if I go into stupid places. But as I recall, there is a First Amendment. And that First Amendment, I'm here to tell you, as somebody, Bob says, I testify very often. I do. I testify very often because I have a First Amendment. But you have a First Amendment right everywhere. You can go and talk about anything at any time. But despite that, our elites, our betters are telling us there's certain things that are beyond the pale we're not permitted to say. Who are they? I'm looking at a pretty big crowd here. Many of you are friends, and I know the history of some of you. Like me, you've had people who have fought in wars on behalf of the country. They have bled, they have died. Who has the right to tell any one of us we may only say certain prescribed acceptable things? I reject that out of hand. The speech is important. We must accept our speech, but that speech goes to something that is more important, and that is life. A couple of examples of the lies that are being told. By the way, I don't even know why I have to give this example. For 3.5 years, 3.5 uninterrupted years, we were told an outright proven, not provable, but proven falsehood. Everybody was saying it. All of the networks, all of the cable stations that I just mentioned, all of the newspapers, all of our institutions were saying it. They kept saying the same falsehood. I would argue many of them were saying falsehood implies that maybe it was said out of goodwill or mistaken belief, that maybe they just got their facts wrong. I generally give people the benefit of the doubt when they get something wrong. I say it's a falsehood. I'm not saying that they're lying. They're lying when they're trying to perpetrate an acknowledged falsehood, when they know it's false, but nonetheless try to get you to believe it. These were lies. Many of us knew they were lies from the very beginning. Nonetheless, they kept insisting upon the lie over and over and over again, breathlessly, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. It was a lie. You may not like the fact that it was a lie. You may want to believe that it was the truth because of various reasons. But it was a lie. They did it for 3.5 years. All of them. They awarded themselves prizes for disseminating the lie. They clapped each other on the back because of the lie. They denigrated those who might say, "I'm not sure if that's true." They banished those who insisted that it was a lie. They punished those they insisted was a lie. They fired people who insisted it was a lie. You were deplorable, part of the grain unwashed, if you insisted it was a lie. And to this day, they have yet to apologize for the greatest hoax in American political history. Nobody's retracted. Now, regardless of where you stand politically, what has to horrify every single one of us is the fact that they essentially got away with it and rewarded with it. And yet a significant number of people continue to behave as if it was the truth. Again, regardless of where you stand with respect to that lie, it was a lie. And again, it was five lights. They got us to say there are five lights. And if you don't say there are five lights, again, you're a deplorable. Something's wrong with you. You're not part of the beautiful people. You might even get fired. And there have been people who've been fired, banished, because they will not accept the lie. Again, I argue that lie had its genesis in a lie that began a long time ago and is about to celebrate its 50th anniversary. Because if you can accept a lie as profound as a baby in a womb is nothing more than an idea, a cluster of cells, if you can accept that, all things are possible. You can accept anything. They've broken you. You are now saying, there are five lights. Live not by lies. It's that fundamental. I'll give you some other examples of huge lies. And I bet you, many of you may not realize the following that I'm about to tell you is a lie. You're people of goodwill. You want to accept that your fellow man, your fellow Americans, are telling you the truth. It's a natural tendency. And this may be, for many of you, the first time you hear some of these statistics that I'll give you that demonstrate unequivocally that we've been living through a huge lie over the last couple of years, gigantic lie that's had multiple adverse ramifications for the United States of America and for how we think about each other as fellow Americans, as a society. Bob indicated I'm on the Civil Rights Commission. Been there for a couple of decades. One of these days I'll get it right. They keep appointing me, so I show up. But if you have 20 years on the Civil Rights Commission, you have access to data that most people don't have. I have a Civil Rights Commission meeting by Zoom coming up in a little while today. I study the data intensely. I don't know that I know it better than anybody in the country, but I know it pretty well. Maybe better than anybody in the country. Huge lie. Now, bear with me. This has nothing to do, per se, with the life issue. But it has to do with the difference between four lights and five lights. Because, again, if they can get you to believe there are five lights, they can get you to believe that that life in the womb is nothing special and can be killed at a whim, can be dismembered. It's just an experiment. It's an impediment to your lifestyle. It's hallowed that you be able to get rid of it. They can get you to believe that. It's holy to get rid of it. Now, again, I bet you most of you, because you're people of goodwill, and also many of you have lived through the United States of America. Let's face it. The United States has had a baleful history when it comes to the subject of race. It's one of the reasons I'm on the Civil Rights Commission. I want to address these matters. I want to address them honestly and effectively. Now, I was around as a young man when the 1964 Civil Rights Act was passed, prohibiting discrimination on the basis of race in employment, and all the other Civil Rights Acts that prohibited discrimination on the basis of race, doing virtually anything. A couple of years ago, it was disseminated somehow throughout the land. I know how it happened. I mean, we had a circumstance that many disingenuous people leapt upon. It was a tragedy. It was awful. It was the George Floyd incident. We all remember that, and many of us understood intuitively at the very outset what was going to happen. There was going to be a conflagration. Bob mentioned I was on the Tucker Carlson show the day after to talk about it. And you knew it was horrific. The images were horrific. And then it spawned, well, some people say peaceful protests. Again, five lights. Five lights. I remember that CNN correspondent standing in front of these burning buildings, people running to and fro, smashing things. Mostly peaceful protest. But we sensed, for those of us who were around during the Huff riots, the Glenville riots, other riots, we knew something was going to happen. And it did. Billions of dollars in damage. The most damage in United States history in terms of riots. Now, obviously, dollars to dollars, maybe not, because it's 2020, 2021, as opposed to 1990, Los Angeles riots, etc. But a huge number of communities were affected. Lots of people were killed. Lots of cops were outright assassinated. Why? Because of a false narrative. Now, the George Floyd incident on its own was bad enough. And you can have your own opinion as to whether or not it was murder, whether or not it was a mistake or, you know, negligence. But it was horrific no matter what. Somebody's dead because of it. In the images, the video was horrific. But I would submit it wouldn't result or wouldn't have resulted in the mass rioting that I've just referenced, if it were not for the narrative that the United States is still embedded in Selma, Alabama, 1965, that nothing has changed in this country, that the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments weren't passed, that the 1964 Civil Rights Act and all the other Civil Rights Act preceding it hadn't been passed, that it wasn't, in fact, 2020, that, in fact, cops were gunning down black people wantonly and disproportionate numbers. I guarantee you 80 to 90% of the people in this room believe that black men especially are disproportionately shot or beaten by cops across the land. Guaranteed. Because there are five lights. You've been told that over and over and over again. And you know the history of this country has not been the greatest when it comes to race. But here are the facts, and these have been the facts for quite some time now. Blacks are not disproportionately shot by cops or beaten by cops. In fact, if you look at the data, white males are shot by cops up to three times as often as black males who are engaged in the same activity. In other words, cops aren't going out there. You have to have an encounter with a cop before he shoots you. Why do you have an encounter with a cop? Usually have an encounter with a cop that might result in the use of deadly force when you're committing a crime. Unfortunately, doesn't give me any solace to say this, doesn't make me feel good, but black males commit crimes, aggravated crimes like murder, rape, aggravated robbery, seven times as often as white males do. They're more likely to be encountered by a cop in a situation that may involve the use of deadly force. Now, how could it be that white males in that situation are actually shot more often? common sense. I think everybody in this room knows that. Because cops are petrified of pulling out their service weapon when there is a black male there. Because they've seen the videos, they've seen the ramifications, they've seen the George Floyd situation, they've seen the Freddie Gray situation, they've seen all of those. Ferguson, Missouri. Here's another stat for you. Black cops are 3.3 times, that's a lot. It's not 10%, it's not 20%. That's 330%. 3.3 times more likely to shoot a black suspect than a white cop. Those are facts. You won't hear that on MSNBC. You won't hear that on ABC. You won't hear that in your newspapers. You won't hear that in schools. You won't hear that among the genuflecting woke who are bowing to political correctness, the icons of political correctness. But it does damage to society because I submit to you that if people knew those facts, and again, these have been the facts for a long time, if people knew those facts, we wouldn't have dead cops. We wouldn't have idiocy such as defund the police. We wouldn't have burning buildings all over the place. We would have a sane judicial system, but we don't have it. I can give you all manner of stats, tons and tons of them. And it goes on and on. It's not just with respect to a George Floyd situation. But many of you know this, and many of us are petrified of speaking the truth. I get nervous saying these things sometimes. I do. Now, I have an advantage that some of you in this room don't have. Number one is I'm a little touched. Number two is, I'm black, so maybe I get dispensation, but I'll tell you what, I get attacked sometimes more vociferously than many of you might. I'm a traitor, I'm all kinds of things, as if I've got an allegiance to somebody simply because he shares my pigmentation. But the truth is more important than pigment. And the truth is essential. I saw a bumper sticker when I was walking in here, and you've seen this one before, where it seems that, I can't remember exactly the elocution of this one, but it was, I've noticed that all the people who are for abortion have been boring. Right? So it's that kind of mentality where if you take a certain side, it's maybe because you have taken sides. You want to be part of a side. The truth or the facts don't matter. You want to advocate a particular position. You want to assert that there are five lights for your own benefit. It makes you feel good. It gives you psychological sustenance. It's an excuse for your own failures. Everybody searches for them, right? We all do. We're human beings. Every single person here legitimizes, justifies, rationalizes bad behavior, your own bad behavior. You know it's bad. You're not proud of it. But you do it nonetheless. I'll just speak for myself. I know I do it every single day. So, give you another example. And I'm going to get back to how this all impacts this movement and how this movement impacts what I'm about to say also. I hear, again, on the Civil Rights Commission, constantly outright falsehoods. With respect to the latest, for the last several years, we've been hearing about systemic discrimination. I'll get off of this topic in a few minutes, but I think it's important. Systemic discrimination. Again, this subject is war on truth. Systemic discrimination. I've been on the Civil Rights Commission again for more than 20 years. I get copious data. I sit in front of hearings with experts all the time. Some of them are governmental experts, people from the Department of Justice, people from the Department of Education, the Office of Civil Rights, the Department of Education. And we have a lot of data that we adduce ourselves. Because I have no life, I go through the data. I read it. I'm very familiar with what the data says. Now, I'm not going to say I don't lie. My wife knows I do all the time to try to get out of trouble. But nonetheless, I hate lies. I just hate them. I try to avoid them. Here's another lie that does profound damage to our polity, to our society. Systemic discrimination. You may have heard of the 1619 Project. It's everywhere. It's in 5,000 school districts. It's sheer lunacy. It's a giant lie. Historians, the first historians, I'm going to take credit for this. I was the first to come out publicly and denounce it. I'd seen it and wrote about it on National Review. But shortly thereafter, much smarter and knowledgeable individuals than I said, this is bunk. And guess what? Three of them, the first three that came out, Sean Lentz, I can't remember all of them, but Princeton historians, just some of the greatest historians that we currently have, writing in People's Workers Daily, in a socialist magazine, said, this is nuts. It's bunk. It's wrong. Yet they're distributing it and teaching it in 5,000 school districts. Five lights. Live not by lies. However, our elite are compelling us and our children to live by lies. They want to poison our minds, break our spirit for a particular end. And we have to ask ourselves, what is that end? When anybody lies, the end can't be very good. But the 1619 Project, without going into any detail, is a bunch of bunk. But it sets a premise. It's a premise of, this is an evil society. And it sets a premise that the Judeo-Christian origins of this society would tolerate, among other things, and perpetuate slavery. And they blame Christianity for it. I've been in hearings at the Civil Rights Commission where we have had historians from where else? The Ivy League. By the way, I don't know how many Ivy Leaguers are here. I was in the Ivy League. My daughter's in the Ivy League. What a bunch of crap. I had to unlearn much of the stuff I learned there. They tell us these things, all this stuff, 1619 Project, to get us to focus on five lights, to, again, break our mental spirit, our psychology, a psychological surrender. So we will accept almost anything. Because think about it. We will kill a life in the womb. How do you get to that point? Unless you acknowledge there are five lights. It's almost an impossibility. And then what happens when you acknowledge there are five lights? Well, you do things such as the following. Because of the 1619 Project and other things, we have rampant racial discrimination in this country. But you know which way it goes? In the opposite direction of what the elites tell us it goes. And it's been this case for the last 40 to 50 years. We have, in almost every institution, incredibly powerful racial preferences. The preferences work in favor of Hispanics and blacks and against Asians and whites. And they're substantial. I have a brief pending before the Civil Rights Commission right now in the case of Students for Fair Admissions versus Harvard, my daughter's alma mater. At least that's where she got her PhDs. Harvard discriminates on the basis of race profoundly. I've used that term a million times now because I have a very small vocabulary. But they discriminate rampantly. An Asian student, for example, who has, let's say, a GPA of 3.8, board scores of 1,200, no, it's too low, 1,400 maybe, same extracurriculars, comes from the same area of the country, all the things that admissions officers look at, is 10 times less likely to be admitted than his Hispanic or black comparative. 10 times. Not 10%, 10 times. And yet we've been making excuses. The appellate court, the trial court, or else saying, it's okay. It started with the Supreme Court in Grutter and Gratz, where they said that educational institutions can discriminate on the basis of race, provided it's just a mere feather on the scale. Once you allow that door to be opened, it's difficult to close it. But they permitted it in the Grutter and Gratz cases 20 years ago. A feather on the scale is not being admitted at an order of magnitude at 10 times greater. Now, that's just Harvard. At other places, if you are black or Hispanic, you are 400 times more likely to be admitted than your similarly situated white or Asian comparative. Again, same GPA, same board scores, same extracurriculars, even come from the same area of the country. 400 times, no, indeed, beyond a basic level of competence, being black or Hispanic guarantees admission. That's where the systemic discrimination is. And it poisons our society in so many ways that I don't have to explain to you, and it would take a while to delineate every single way it poisons society. But again, I guarantee you many of you may have had a sense of this. Maybe you had your own kids and you were thinking, how come he didn't get into school? But most of you probably didn't know it was that profound, because they're trying to say there are five lights. Live not by lies. What time is it? I got 10 minutes?
Unless you want to start Q&A now.
No. I got another 2 hours to go. Let me give you one other example. And I've got a lot of them. Some of these are uncomfortable truths. An inconvenient truth? These are inconvenient truths. They need to be said, so we don't say there are five lights. And I'll probably get canceled for this, but geez, I've been canceled a million times already. Right now, there is a debate in the country regarding transgenderism. Many of you are familiar with the situation of Leah Thomas at the University of Pennsylvania, again, the Ivy League. This is, I would say most of us in this room, I don't know all of you, I know many of you, but my sense of the pro-life community is you're generally people of goodwill. In that respect, you would be inclined to accord respect and dignity to someone who is transgender. I know I am. If somebody, I will try to do whatever I can without compromising my own values to treat somebody the way they want to be treated. Okay, to a point. But then there's a point beyond which, you know, I think respect and dignity no longer apply. I will treat you with respect and dignity. But right now, there's a movement afoot that demands more than simple respect and dignity. It requires an acceptance of something that is false. This is big. This is not something small. We can accord respect and dignity to every one of God's creatures without admitting or accepting an outright blatant falsehood. Right now, at my alma mater, if I walk into a men's room, there will be a tampon dispensing machine. It's never used, but it's there. I don't know about other universities. I suspect that there are in other woke universities, too. Leah Thomas was born male, is still male, and swims for the University of Pennsylvania women's swimming team. Leah Thomas was, at best, an average male swimmer when Leah was on the men's team last year. In fact, some would say mediocre. I hate to say that, but that's the fact. No one knew who Leah Thomas was, didn't do anything remarkable, was not going to be mistaken for Michael Phelps at any time. But now is essentially the Michael Phelps of the women's swim world. If you see some of the videos, she's swimming, or he is swimming, see, as a female, and is winning races such as the 100 meters or more by, in some cases, by two pool lengths. Not by, say, from here to there, as most races are, two lengths, 30 seconds. 30 seconds, not a third of a second, not three-tenths of a second, 30 seconds. And you're not allowed to say anything about it. The other women, or the women, on the University of Pennsylvania team are scared to death to say there are only four lights because they know they'll be banned. Not just banned. They will be canceled and punished. They may not get into grad school. They may not get that preferred internship. They may not get that job because they have said that there are only four lights. They must say there are five lights. Leah Thomas, by the way, dresses and undresses in the female locker room and, by all reports, is still male. And sometimes demonstrates that in an unfortunate fashion because apparently there's still some attraction. And all of the girls and women on that team must be quiet and say there are five lights. If you do that, all the things I've mentioned, despite overwhelming facts, I've given you overwhelming facts with respect to police shootings, with respect to college admissions, with respect to sports. And I, just as an anecdote, I want to give you another example of that. But all of those things, and we're still going along with it. If you do that, you can say, and I brought this with me because I didn't want to misquote it. The New York Times, this was just about 2.5 weeks ago, had a report talking about fetal heartbeats, okay? And it was all excited about this because some experts, it says, according to experts, language has long been a battleground in the political struggle over abortion. No, it hasn't. They've been foisting five lights on us. And the sparring now centers on a word with deep resonance, heartbeat. They're talking about fetal heartbeats. And they're all excited because some idiot with a medical degree said that it's not truly a heartbeat, okay? Oh, my goodness. You know what? I wanted to read the exact phraseology, and I brought the wrong one. But it's only, it's not a heartbeat. You know what it is? It's only a primitive tube of cardiac cells that emit electrical pulses and pump blood. Five lights. Now, to me, that sounds like intellectual gobbledygook for heartbeat. But they try their best to say there are five lights. There are five lights. So, live not by lies. But it goes the other way. Go ahead, keep, I love applause. Go ahead. It goes the other way too. If we deny that that clump of cells in the womb is a baby, a human life, I mean, that's the biggest five light syndrome there is. Then we will deny everything and anything that makes sense and is true. And that is what's happening right now. We're seeing it all over the place. It goes both ways. First, break down the psyche, the psychological surrender to say, you know, that's not a baby. That's not a heartbeat. And then, once you accept that absurdity, you can accept anything else that our betters want us to accept. Wars that shouldn't be our business. I'm not making any political statement here. You can accept that certain actions on the part of our government are legitimate, that they're constitutional when they are plainly not. You can accept a Supreme Court that rationalizes things that are completely absurd, but my goodness, there are five lights. Those five lights say they're smarter than we are, that the Constitution doesn't say what it affirmatively says. All the things that you can rationalize. The war on truth. Peace is war. War is peace. 1984, all over again. Ignorance is strength. Say that again.
Ignorance is strength.
all of those things. You know, all the slogans that you saw in 1984. Again, I would encourage you to, if you haven't, I don't want to presume anything, because not all of us have read every single book in the world, but Darkness at Noon tells you how we're in the old Soviet Union, how it really works, and you'll be struck by how similar we are today to the old Soviet Union. We don't have people in a gulag, necessarily. We don't have people who are starving because of the government, necessarily. But who's to say that couldn't happen? Look at where we are today. Do you think we would be here today? If think back 30 years ago, and people could tell you that people could be canceled and banned, that your speech could be suppressed, that we would kill millions in the womb. And we have coming up the Dobbs case. 50 years after Roe. It took 50 years and contortions, legal contortions, linguistic contortions that boggle the mind to get us to say there are five lights. I'm sorry, that's not simply a fetus. That is a living, breathing human being. It's not a stone. It's not an animal. It's not a clump of cells. It's not simply a chemical. I have kids. I have grandkids. They look like human beings to me. What were they before that? Were they something else? Were they reptilian? We're accepting absurd propositions. We are attempting to engage in a rational discussion with something that is an extant absurdity. Five lights. Do not live by lies. So, I think that's all I've got in terms of time, because I could go on and on forever and ever. I'll simply exhort, and I'll take whatever questions Bob has, but I'll simply exhort all of us. It's tough. It's hard to do. To live not by lies. Thank you.
I introduced him as the brilliant Peter Kirsenow for a reason, did I not? I think we all got an example of why. Peter, phenomenal presentation, thank you. I've been asked to stand in the middle of the room so that you don't turn and look at me and talk to the audience. So I'm going to ask their questions here. Pete, this was not my first choice of questions. And by the way, to those, everybody who submitted questions on these cards, thank you. I can't read them all to him. We just don't have the time, obviously. I had to sit there and kind of triage and pick out the most important ones right now. I got about five or six of them all asking for, in some form, for the true source of the statistics that you cited with respect to crime and race and so on and
multiple.
So forth. People want to know where they can get them because we don't get the truth from the media.
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of places you can get this information, but the best place to get it is the Uniform Crime Report that the FBI issues every year. Now, it's usually about 2 years behind the current year. In other words, they deduce all the evidence and everything, and then they do some magic alchemy or something, and they produce this report. But it's the Uniform Crime Report, the FBI Uniform Crime Report. You can get a lot of these statistics, or you can go to some of the things I've written on National Review, by the way, in the past. I don't write that much with National Review anymore for certain reasons. I won't go into it. But I have a little bit of a difference with their philosophy. But nonetheless, that's probably the best place to go to.
Okay, very good.
And by the way, if you want to see some of the stats with respect to college admissions and all of that, you know, you could go to the Civil Rights Commission, but I would go to the Center for Equal Opportunity, which has done multiple studies on this over the last 15 years and has the data with respect to college admissions. In fact, there was a report by Althea Nagai, N-A-G-A-I, that talks about these statistics. But you can go to, again, you can go online and find my brief before the Supreme Court on Harvard. It's got a lot of the stats in there. There are multiple places you can find these stats. They're there, but the media doesn't report them. Nobody reports them because they want you to say there are five lights.
I'll just kind of dovetail off his answer. Heather McDonald, our mutual friend, your friend, my acquaintance, who I've had on several times, does an amazing job of compiling the data from the FBI sources that Peter is talking about. So if you do any searching online for Heather McDonald, you will find she's written extensively about those stats, and you'll understand the truth to share with people who don't get it. Okay, Pete, identity politics is one of our prime drivers of marginalizing individuals and taking apart our country. Given this, do you identify in any way with being black? Why or why not?
Well, I am. I don't know, you know, I don't go around telling, it's not first thing I tell people. When I walk into a room, you know who I am, okay? And it's the least important thing about me.
That's a great answer. That's kind of what I'm sure the writer was asking. It doesn't matter.
You know, I don't... again, I'm at an age where I remember I couldn't go, my family couldn't go certain places on vacation because there were no motel rooms that you could stay at. Okay, I remember all this stuff. I'm not denying reality. It's 2022, folks. Things have changed radically. And if you want to hold on to old grievances, however legitimate they are, that's your business. Don't foist them on me, and I would suggest try not to foist them on the rest of America.
Peter, are you seeing a coordinated effort to feminize men, and specifically white men?
I'm going to get canceled. I would suggest one of the reasons why China and Russia look at us the same way that my dogs look at squirrels is because they sense, it's human nature, weakness invites aggression, and they perceive weakness. Well, look, I had a misspent youth, admittedly. I don't know how I got into school because I was not a nice guy. I was involved in a lot of things, okay? Back a long time ago, the police had a familiarity with me. And what I will tell you is that, and I was aggressive, I don't take pride in this. By means of trying to explain something. And I bet you a lot of guys in here, especially those who are in the military or played sports, say the same thing. When you saw somebody that evinced some form of weakness, it made you aggressive. It heightened the testosterone levels. That's not a good thing, okay? I'm not saying that's a justified thing. But Putin looks at us, Xi looks at us, and licks his chops. There is a set of commercials out there that show the recruiting ads for Russia and the one for China. You have to see these. They look like Rambo movies. And they have this very martial music that gets you all jazzed up. If you're a man, you know what I'm talking about. And women, too. Then you look at our commercials. And it's about be all you can be, but they want you to be some kind of social worker, apparently. It has nothing to do whatsoever with the fact that the purpose, as Rush Limbaugh used to say, of armies is to kill people and break things. It's unfortunate, but that's the purpose. We don't need you out there parading around saying that, you know, I'm diverse or anything. Who cares? You're an American. Protect the country first.
You've been listening to Peter Kersenau, Avinash's Labor and Employment Practice Group partner and presenter at the 2022 Bringing America Back to Life convention.
From the Median is listener supported. Visit our website, fromthemedian.org, for further information or to make a donation to continue to make this radio program possible. Email us, radionews@fromthemedian.org, or call 440-668-4049. Through our fromthemedian.org website, you can download this or previous programs for your listening pleasure or sign up to receive our weekly preview of upcoming guest interviews. Tune in every weeknight at the same time to listen to another great interview on From the Median as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life.
This program has been sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.